I'm going to open the Prudential Committee Kootenai Fire District meeting of the August 27th, 2018. Could we have roll call, please?
Ray Perone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock, Kelly Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Sylvia Janelle, Prudential.
Thank you.
Charlie Eager, Clerk.
Thank you. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Is there any public comment? Please limit comments to 3 minutes. No, you can speak to the treasurer after the meeting. Thank you. Okay. So we have a guest today. It's Mr. Charles Nutter. He's from Energy Sales for Next Amp Solar. And he contracted the district to see if we would be interested in getting some solar credits. The water department already is in a program with the town for the solar array at the transfer station. So this would just be for water, for the Prudential and fire. So it's all yours. Thank you.
So, with our projects, it's got a 20-year life.
What is your charge for kilowatt hour?
So we offer a fixed discount percentage. So we're offering a 20% discount, which really means, if you think about it on an annual basis. I mean, so we've spoken a little bit before, just looking at rough numbers, and you'll see a couple scenarios. So basically, please see one page that shows how much credit is available from the rest of the project that we have a signed contract for, and then one example which shoots to give you a good idea of what would happen if we just assigned $20,000 of credit each month, or each year, excuse me. So what I did was I gave a kilowatt hour number that should lead to $20,000 of credit on your bill each year. So if you receive $20,000,
and what is your annual output of electricity fairly stable? Does it? Questions?
No, I'm just just interested in knowing more how the process works. So basically, you're an energy producer, and out of the total amount of kilowatts you produce a year, we'd be contracting you for a certain amount, and based on the difference of any other producer and what you're offering, you see a potential savings for us of about $4,000 a year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
So basically, the solar arrays are connected right to the grid. So through the process called net metering, either Eversource or National Grid, depending on where you are, obviously down here it's going to be Eversource. They purchase that credit right as soon as we sell it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so they distribute it to different accounts. We also, this happens to be a project that all of the electricity credits are going to public entities on the Cape and South Shore. But we also build community solar projects. It's basically a way of using the same thing with your own, NSTAR.
Yeah, it's net metering in the way that I've come across it before. Is if you're your own producer of energy, you have solar panels in your own home, and you enter into that agreement with your provider, and it could be that your input into the grid is actually more than what you use or what comes in, so that you end up getting a refund. So this is the same, but on a grand scheme, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
And so basically with the remote net metering, sort of how this is referred to, but that's just because there's no on-site demand, but it's exactly.
I personally, at first glance, like the idea of being part of a consortium like this and the fact that it's clean energy too, solar energy. So that's very interesting for sure.
Now, I have a question about on a procurement level. I mean, how would we go about, soliciting? I mean, would we have to solicit other bids?
I would have to look into it, but I am 50%. Man, I don't know. I've heard maybe that perhaps electrical contracts are exempt.
Okay.
So I'll have to look at that.
So, yeah, there's
I don't know 30, if that's a, yeah, 30B exemption for electrical. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Is phase two complete or?
Phase two is not complete.
Okay.
Phase two is about to be constructed. Okay. Phase one is operational.
Okay. These figures you've given us are based on phase two being complete?
Yeah, so the figures that I've given you are just for phase two. So the total kilowatt hour is somewhere in the 3.7 million range. Mm-hmm. That's just
It's pretty interesting. So you're basically just selling energy back to the distributors. They're buying it off of you, and you know, a percentage of that goes into your profits, and the rest of it is gets distributed to us as users with these credits. So.
And so you're how are you financed for these projects? I know part of it's tax dollars, correct?
So the three main sources of financing for these projects are going to be an equity contribution. So we'll put in some amount of money from our operating capital. We'll get a loan, and then one part of it is referred to as tax equity financing. Okay. So that's essentially we partner with a company or someone who has a large tax appetite through the federal investment tax credit. They're able to sort of see better returns on an early investment.
Okay. So how old is your existing project that you have running? Have you had any problems with breakdowns or anything like that? Or the panels you use, what is their history?
No, so the panels are, the panels have been fine. Any issues with the product, I guess I'll make one point to that, is that so our business model is to own and operate the assets long term. So we have, so it's, you know, you'll see a lot of solar developers that will develop a project,
how many projects does NextAmp have in addition to that?
So we have, it gets bigger every day. So we have, this project is going to be about 2.8 megawatts, and the first Dartmouth solar project was about 2.7 megawatts. So if you think roughly in that size, we've got about, I want to say 30 projects around that, and then in that, just in Massachusetts.
And what is the drop dead date you need to hear?
The drop dead date. So it's a little flexible because we do have to contract for the remaining portion. So there's about $65,000 left.
Okay.
That we need to find out more for. And so that last, you know, if you were to contract for $20,000, I would still need to place about $45,000. Now this is like 5% of the project, so it's a pretty small percentage.
Yeah.
But that also means that there's no real drop dead date. I think that, you know, maybe one of my bosses would be upset with me saying that, but I think a reasonable target would be to shoot for the end of next month if that's possible.
Okay.
I just have two more questions. I see that you have a list of clients, including the state, UMass, and other towns. Do you have any other small municipalities or towns here on the Cape as, that are clients?
So we do. For this expansion project, I know that you have, or that the water district, I think that has gone through Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative. So we've contracted through Cape and Vineyard with a handful of other towns. So I think if for housing districts, if Sandwich Housing District, or okay. Housing Authority, Orleans Housing Authority, the DY School.
And the second question, I may have missed it, but I want to ask anyways, is how do you come up with our allocation? I mean, I see these two breakdowns, and one has 318 kilowatts, and the other one has 97 kilowatts. So was that based on our usage, or?
Okay. Absolutely.
When will we see a contract?
I can send over the contract today when I get home.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for coming all this way. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll be in contact. So the one thing I was going to mention about this is I read on the MPPO, which is the site that the procurement offices use to get information from other people, was Canton 6 years ago entered into a solar contract, and his advice was not to have net metering, but to get the money, get the checks. So
good.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean,
yeah. So.
Because we can control our spending, but if we can obviously get a check every month, a steady stream of funding from this project, we know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, net metering, it varies, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
You could get into a situation where they don't have a lot of sun in a certain month, and they don't produce as much energy because it's dependent on the weather. So all of a sudden, if our revenues are were dependent on that, then they would go down or go up, and this is just steady. So and it's a good opportunity, not only to help financially, but to get clean energy in the district.
To participate.
So I support. Yeah, I support that for sure.
And we're not putting it in anybody's backyard.
No, we're not tearing down any trees here.
Based on
anyway.
Whatever. Good. If we get good terms, yeah, that's something I could be leaning towards supporting. Absolutely.
Okay. Do you want to look over the contract?
Yeah, definitely. That's really the key. It all sounds good, but what's our exposure?
Yeah.
Devil in the details, as usual.
That's also why I asked them if there was anybody local that had entered into that, so perhaps we can contact.
Content,
find out.
So, okay, great. Well, I'll email him about that. Mr. Treasurer?
Yes, I gave you a half sheet and a schedule to look at. Basically, the history on this is in February of 2017. My predecessor was about to renew a bond when bond counsel determined that the bond had initially been issued not in conformity with state notice regulations. And that was caused by the fact at the time our bylaws didn't agree with state notification protocol. So the only alternative at that point was to pay the bond off, which indeed he did. But that resulted in an over expenditure of debt service on the budget. The auditors pointed this out to me. I spoke with the state, and the remedy will be to add $164,000, which is the deficit, to the tax recap or to the tax bill for the coming year. Now, we have two means of offsetting that prior to setting the rate. One would be the one I'm going to propose, which is to reduce the reserve for refunds and abatements that the district has built up over the years, and the other will be to use free cash. The majority of it I'm hoping to come from the reduction in the reserve for abatements. The abatements are built up through the taxes on the district. They're contributed to this reserve, but the reserve is controlled by the assessor who issues the rebates and credits, rebates and abatements. And so the procedure is for the Prudential Committee to approve my petitioning the assessor on your behalf to reduce the amount of the reserve. And as I looked at the reserve, which is the second sheet, I gave you a little history. You're looking at a reserve that, as of right now, is approximately $143,000. We have been adding somewhere in the neighborhood of between $25,000 and $30,000 over the past 5 years, and been only spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000. On abatement. So we've been building this up, and it seems appropriate to me to return some of that money to the taxpayer through this mechanism. So what I'm proposing is taking 120% of the five-year average and taking 8 years of that. That's a total of $25,000. If that is an appropriate reserve, we would release $118,000, which we would use to offset against the $164,000 of potential tax increase. So I strongly recommend that you give me that permission to petition Mr. O'Neill on your behalf.
So I just have one question. So if for some unknown reason we get down to $25,000 and some year comes up and we have to use more than that for rebates, can we get that from add to it from free cash? Is that possible?
You could do it from free cash, but what we'll be doing and what the state will require us is each year we'll be adding to it. And we'll be adding to it usually in a multiple of that $3,000. So I would say this year we had $36,000 that we put in the budget. Where it was really imposed on us. Next year, I'm going to argue for something in the neighborhood of $18,000 to $20,000. So that will go in. So that will increase that 26 to give you like almost a $50,000 cushion.
Was this for the BLT land next to the ballpark? Isn't that what it was? That bond that was the problem? Do you remember?
Oh, God, what was the bond used for? It was a $365,000 bond. High Street purchase. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Oh, it was High Street?
I think so.
Because I thought we had to pay off. Didn't we have to pay off the ballpark early? We had to pay it off instead of going out to. Yeah. Okay.
It was for what?
We had to pay off our contribution to the Lowell property next to the ballpark earlier than we expected. So we couldn't go out for a bond for it.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. All right. So,
I assume the bylaws have been amended to so that
I believe they
will
have,
not happen again. If it was an error.
Yeah. I believe they have, but okay. I will check that to be sure
that
it conforms with the state.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to authorize the treasurer to approach the town assessor's office to release $164,000
from... No, $118,000.
$118,000 from our... overlay account, reserve account for, reserve for abatements and refund.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
So moved.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're going to talk about the Freedom of Information?
Freedom of Information. Over the past 3 weeks, the Treasury Department has been logging its time that is spent on freedom on record requests. And it's totaled in that time period approximately 16 hours. That's between the treasurer and the assistant treasurer. And that is not just time producing the records, but it's also time interacting with the state, responding to requests from the state relative to this, developing documentation for appeals, and responding to the state, checking with counsel about certain redaction requirements. And the other thing that I would say is that most of the record requests we get are not records that we have on the shelf that we can simply take off and make a copy or provide. They take some design to extract it from a system where the information is contained, where we would not normally produce and look at that on a regular basis. So there's some design time with any request. First of all, to clarify what the requester wants, and second of all, then, to figure out the best way to extract it so the requester gets the information, but we don't spend a lot of time. What I would point out is that we're only budgeted 40 hours in the Treasury Department between the two of us. You put on 5 hours a week, and we may be looking at like a $7,000 increase in that Treasury budget for the year.
So a lot of this work is uncompensated, correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's very, when we finally get to we charge for design and we charge for production. But that's really been the minor part of what's involved.
Okay.
How much has been charged for design and construction for these 16 hours?
I'm challenged. Okay. Probably less than, I think less than eight, less than some, more like 6 hours total charge time. I'd have to go back and check that, though.
Okay, thank you. The space needs contract, so
I'll come back and with that information.
Okay. Attorney Boudreau reviewed Brown Lundquist Finuccio's proposed contract, and the contract that obviously is more favorable to the district. And he really only had very short response, which was, and when I said, could you please look at these and give me your opinion, was, well, obviously, he thinks that the contract that we provided, which is not the standard AIAI contract, it would be in the best interest of the district.
Yep.
I've gone through it and redlined it again with some of the information that was missing, and I'm happy to share that. I'm not real good with redlining. I have to warn everybody.
That's
formatting.
Okay.
What happened to WordPerfect? there is some information that's missing that I know was in the original packets, which was the insurance. And I think,
correct.
I know that you had highlighted some that thought, you know, these are things that may be overkill with respect to this contract.
Correct.
Working in insurance, I don't think they're overkill.
Well, the amount.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
My guess is that Brown Lundquist is it's a sizable enough firm that they're going to carry these coverages.
Correct.
And by all means, we're going to want to be named as additional insureds and,
correct.
And on the policies that we can be named on, obviously not the comp and things of that nature. But I think that the amounts that they agreed to provide are in those packets, so I just need to go look through that.
Okay.
Excellent.
So I can do that. I can probably do that tomorrow. We'll insert those, we'll get it out, and then we can get it over to
to
what's the nice gal's name? Karen?
Celia? Elizabeth?
No, I'm glad.
Catherine with a Y. if we're all in agreement, and I think, you know, the provisions that we think are overkill in our favor or overkill for the project, let them fight, you know, let
correct,
them.
Correct, correct.
That
was,
and
that
say
was
that's
just
too much.
Basically amongst us, because I wanted to make sure. There was an understanding that sometimes when you get smaller firms, these types of articles in a contract dissuade them from signing a contract. But if you feel confident that this is a company of a good size, then I don't think it should be an issue. I mean, this is the standard I've been using for, 12 years now.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty standard to see $1 million, $2 million for liability insurance and things of that nature. And this is pretty summarized. There's a ton of other things that could have been added, but for a project of this size, I don't think they were necessary. So, to me, this was, in my opinion, the bare minimum that I would suggest to put in a contract so that in the case of, or the event of any adversarial situation, then things would be able to be discussed amicably. So I'm glad that you saw it, and I'm glad you agreed.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Let them fight the things that they see as an issue.
And if they come back, I mean, we can talk about whether or not we're willing to take those out. So what I'll do is, I just want to make sure that, you know, their proposal, I'm confident that the insurance will line up, but I'll just double check that tomorrow so we haven't put something in there that they weren't offering. And I'll clean it up, and then I'll shoot it over to him, if that's okay.
Perfect.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think I'd like to probably have a meeting in a couple of weeks earlier than our next meeting so we can, you know, address the solar and also address this so we can get this moving.
Yeah. Yeah, and just get these things done.
Yeah, get a month meeting.
Yeah. So. The men's bathroom's leaking. Yeah, the equipment in the bathroom is probably circa 1940. And you also need to understand the plumbing in this building is brass. It's the original brass plumbing.
Wow.
So, which has a tendency when you start to work on it to crumble.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, Spencer Hallett is the plumber we use, and the plumber that was taking care of this building before Spencer Hallett was Spencer Hallett's father, who's
So they're familiar with the building.
Yes, they're familiar with the building. So they've come over and looked at the toilet, and we need a new toilet, and we need the cast iron and copper waste and vent pipes need to be replaced. The fixture needs to be replaced. And also the floor under the toilet needs to be seen to.
Because it's probably leaked, yeah.
Well, it's leaked, and it's not level, so, you know, it rocks. So I've been getting a price for that. So the total price to replace the toilet and the vent pipes and everything else that goes with it is $1,250. Mm. So we can, you know. We'll
cost me more to replace a toilet in my house. Jeez, that's
a
cast
iron. I have experience with that.
Yeah.
That's
just, yeah.
Wow.
You just have to hit that a little bit harder to get it to crumble.
Yeah, yeah, that's not an easy
workaround.
And obviously they're not going to deal with the floor.
No, no. So I have David Kerr, who's been taking care of this building and is very good at working in historical buildings. He's going to look at the floor and give us a price for that. And so when we meet in 2 weeks, hopefully I'll have this settled and we can vote on it to go ahead. So
perfect.
Did they take a look at, like, you know, the pipes for the sink? Because we're just talking about the toilet, right?
Just talking about the toilet,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does it make sense to
have them look at them at least?
Fix it all, if it's going to be.
See how much.
Yeah, I can ask him about the sink.
Yeah, just
do it all.
I don't know what kind of cost savings it would be to just deal with it all at once, but.
Well, you'd probably say you'd say something, because he doesn't have to roll his truck for it.
Come back twice. Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
So, okay, so I'll add the sink.
We'll get a quote, and we'll go from
find
there.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure, does the sink come through the floor or the wall? Or do they come up through the floor?
They come up through the floor.
So,
yeah, all the plumbing is all.
Going to have to disconnect the sink regardless to do the floor, and it might, you know, if you're doing that.
Just get it all, one foul swoop, and wait for the ladies to decide to.
Beauty of old buildings.
What are you guys
doing?
No.
Beauty of old buildings. Yeah. They're beautiful, but maintenance. It's interesting.
So, just to let you know, the camera is back in operation.
Excellent.
And, the problem was that someone had tried to set it up for Wi-Fi, and once it's set in the Wi-Fi mode, it freezes the whole. Yeah, so it took us two guys and about 5 hours to get that fixed. So it cost us $90. So the next...
technology.
Can you prevent it from being put in Wi-Fi mode? You know, I mean, is this going to happen for people who rent the hall? Or we just have to warn them not to?
The church rented it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were told three times specifically that they couldn't use that camera.
Okay.
Because it had just been fixed.
And they used it.
And they used it. Okay. So, you know, so I'm going to start.
We're talking about the projector, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, the projector, yeah.
Okay.
Projector,
no,
camera, whatever.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. So,
we being taped.
That was partially my fault. I didn't lock the door, but I didn't expect somebody to, you know,
take it by
help themselves.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And the next is the minutes. And so there are a couple of corrections. Mm-hmm. On the first page, mid-paragraph, they use the acronym GASB, which is Governmental Accounting Standards Board. So I changed it to that and actually included that so anybody will know what it is. And then on the final page, it was Mr. Boudreaux's name wasn't spelled correctly. And I added, and I misspelled Catherine's name. So I'll change that. But I added her first name from Brown Lindquist. So if everybody's reviewed them, I'll accept a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So I don't think there's any other business to come through the committee.
Mm-hmm.
No. No other business?
Nope.
Celia? No? So accept a motion to adjourn.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.